superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
To him, it's another day at the office. He's been doing it all year long.
Rich Eisen.
18 NFL seasons with NFL Network and about seven on SportsCenter before all that.
Someone get a handle on him.
Earlier on the show, Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, still to come, comedian Colin Quinn, Steelers linebacker Devin Bush, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of our show. We're going to have a fun time with Colin Quinn. Funny guy, funny show.
Yeah, funny show.
Funny show.
Colin Quinn was, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Now that was his sign-off, right?
For Weekend Update.
Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Who did he succeed? Did he succeed Norm MacDonald?
I feel like he succeeded Norm.
You want to look that up?
Right. Let me check.
Because Norm got the boot from one of the all-time greats and one of our all-time favorite guests, Smokey Don Omar. Gave him the boot, right?
Yeah.
Because
Norm was unrelenting in his
OJ conversation. Yeah. Gave him the boot from the news desk. Did Colin Quinn succeed him? Yeah.
Let's see.
All that stuff. Okay. Very good. Yeah, so he's going to join us. Devin Bush of the Steelers calling in apparently at any moment. So he's going to join us either now or later in the hour.
It went from Dennis Miller to Kevin Nealon. That's news to me. Yes. Norm MacDonald. And now the fake news. And then Colin Quinn. And then Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon followed him.
I remember Norm hosting the ESPYs.
Oh, yeah.
I think that he hosted it in Vegas once or something like that. I remember that.
He did it one time. Norm was one and done.
I remember he hosted the ESPYs once, and he just torched the place.
He made a joke about Charles Woodson,
I don't remember it. Oh, I just remember the one moment about a joke that
just,
I remember.
Just look it up on YouTube.
Okay. I remember the one joke of somebody that was particularly troublesome to ESPN brass was Will Ferrell doing his
Harry Carey
talking about Elway's teeth, right?
Yeah.
And then didn't he tell something like Ken Griffey Jr., your father was better or something like that? It was particularly, and I remember some ESPN executives were just so upset that the guy from Saturday Night Live would just come in and torch the place.
Right.
And he will never do X, Y, and Z again.
Right.
And, of course, Will Ferrell's appeared on ESPN probably 19 million times since then.
Yeah,
I remember that. Let's take some phone calls. People are calling.
Yeah, let's do it.
I should take their phone calls. Let me take their phone calls. Archie in Lynchburg, Virginia. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Archie?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I got one name for Del Tufo's boat.
Okay, what do you got,
Arch?
Well, talking about Will Ferrell from all the Step Brothers, boats and Del Tufo's.
Nice.
Okay. I thought Mom's Meatloaf was coming. What'd you say, Archie?
And second is, I think you hit the nail on the head with the Dolphins. We don't get any national televised games. We're going to see Tua tonight, no matter what the score is.
Ooh. I don't know. That's a hot take, and I'll tell you right now, speaking on behalf, and I know they would never say this publicly, so I have no problem saying it on four different methods of communication right now.
Quadcast.
On the quadcast. Yes. Thank you for the call, Archie. I think NFL Network executives would sign for that right now. Hey, everybody, Tua's in the game. Tune in to NFL Network tonight. Tua versus Gardner Minshew. What's more American than that? Come on now. Washington State versus Alabama in Florida. Home of the SEC, essentially, right? Come on now. Here we go. Minshew versus Tua. Who's not flipping the channel to that if you're not already glued? Booyah. No doubt about it. All right. Meanwhile, that kicks off week number three. It's exclusive on NFL Network tonight. And then later on this week, what a week three slate. There are so many dynamite games where there are teams that are hoping to go 3-0. Then there are desperate teams hoping to avoid 0-3, needing that first win. And that is exactly the way to describe the Houston Texans visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 2-0 going into this game, with Big Ben looking the way that he's looking and the defense looking the way that it is looking. There's a lot of people talking about the Steelers to go to the Big Bowl. And joining us right back here on the Rich Eisen Show, right in the middle of that stellar Steelers defense. Say that 10 times fast. Devin Bush, back here on the show. How you doing, Devin?
Good. How you doing, Rich?
I am doing just fine. How you enjoying playing right now? You must enjoy this.
I'm so happy. I remember a couple months ago, man, I was out of a job. So I got my job back.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, just the fact that there would be no season? Is that what you mean?
The fact that we were all in our house for 2 months.
Right. And now here you are playing football, buzzing around.
So, yeah, I'm back to myself. I'm back normal.
What's your role in this defense? Tell me how you're right in the middle of it all, Devin. What's going on?
Basically what you just said. I mean, I'm right in the middle of it. So you can say I'm the hub of communication. I have to communicate with 10 other guys about, you know, what we plan and what to expect, and, you know, we all got to be on the same page. So, you know, that's a big part of my job, just making sure everybody's on the same page and, you know, we play a defense together.
So you've got the helmet with the plays coming in your head?
Yes, sir.
You do. And so so walk me through how you communicate before snap. What do you got for me, Devin? Walk me through it.
So basically, if it first starts, you know, we get a personnel meeting. Depends on who's on the field, you know, which players the offense put on the field. We go from there. Then we go through our play calling. We pick a play. I echo the play coming from the sideline. Other 10 echoes the play. You know, if you have any checks or anything we see or anything that we want to, you know, get done. You know, I am one of the first people to say that or make a check, and I got other guys, you know, helping me out with checks and making sure we're all on the same page.
So, in a way, would it be appropriate to say quarterback of the defense? Would it appropriate to say that?
Yeah, you can if you want to.
Well, I mean, no, I just said that. So, no, I'm just trying to figure it out because, again.
You can say that, yes.
Okay, because, you mean, you don't just put that responsibility on anyone's shoulders. You've got to put it in the helmet of somebody who understands the defense, who's got a specific set of skills. You're involving our school right now in the football program.
I don't understand. It's the ones that couldn't get in. That's what happened. The ones that, you know, couldn't go to Michigan. So, I mean,
I agree.
You got to feel for them a little bit. Just got to chuckle with them.
There's a lot of laughter, Devin. You know, on the show before mine, Dan Patrick, legend in the business, great friend of mine. I would call him a great friend. He actually was at my wedding 17 years ago, took over the bar, started handing people Jägermeister shots. I mean, that's how far back I go with Dan.
Oh, wow.
Well, I actually go far back to 1996. He had Urban Meyer on his show yesterday, and he said, how bad did you ever feel bad running the score up on Michigan? Two guys from Ohio, yucking it up.
Just having a good time, huh?
Yeah.
Over a spot of tea, huh?
Yucking it up. Devin, yeah. What are we going to do about this?
We got to win, Rich. That's what we got to do. We got to win first. We got to win once. You can't lie. I mean, we've been down bad in these couple of years. You can't lie about that. But, I mean, you know, we'll bounce back. One day at a time, one game at a time, one year at a time, I guess.
Okay. Well, and before we get to your current state of affairs with your team, Devin Bush here on the Rich Eisen Show, you played on the MetLife turf in week one. That is front and center for certainly the 49ers organization, saying that the turf needed to be inspected, that there was something wrong with the turf. Did you sense that night there was?
Yeah. I'm personally, when I went out there, I mean, it was kind of like, how can I explain this? It was kind of like soft under your feet, but it was also like kind of cushion. After the game, I was pretty sore, like in my calves and my, like, the lower part of my feet and stuff. So So, I mean, I feel exactly where they're coming from on that one.
Okay, but could that be chalked up to the fact that you hadn't played in a game because there was
that
no preseason?
That could also be a factor, too.
Okay. So, but there was a conversation, though, amongst your teammates that something was up with the turf, or you just no? Or just
I don't think it was more just like a personal thing, because I came in the next day, you know, to get treatment, and you know, my shins was kind of bothering me a little bit.
Okay.
And, you know, like you said, it could have been just the first game, just having all that adrenaline and just, you know, moving at a fast pace. But, you know, that usually doesn't happen to me when I play. You know, my shins don't usually hurt.
Okay. So, and maybe, Devin, you know, this is just me just spitballing here. Is it maybe that the 49ers thought maybe it was right around the logo of the field? In the center, did you do anything to the turf?
No, not this time. Not
no?
this time.
We're
it
seeing video.
Me,
that
it wasn't me this time. Promise you. You'd have known if it was me.
Oh yeah, I know. You definitely know how to leave your mark on the center of center of the field. We're seeing that right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So it feels like your team is set up. What about how do you feel? How do your teammates feel about the Steelers going into this week three?
We feel really good. You know, we kind of got a mentality of, you know, we're going to take this one game at a time, and you know, we just going to continue to get better, you know, each and every week. You know, every week's not going to be a perfect week, and every week's going to be a battle, you know, in the NFL. So I mean, we're willing to accept that, and willing to, you know, you go out there and play as hard as you can. You're going to have some mess-ups. You're going to see some new things, and we just want to get better and better, you know, and see where that leads us.
Did Tomlin write that on a card for you? Because that sounded just like Mike Tomlin to me, Devin.
Yeah, I kind of read it off the card he left in the room right now.
Well, I'm glad that maybe Tomlin – I'm glad that Tomlin printed it out so you could read it.
Yeah,
honestly,
exactly.
That sounded
– it's taped to my wrist.
That's that,
the quarterback wrist, you know.
Yeah, sure. Tape. Well, you're the quarterback of the defense. That
exactly.
Sounded like Tomlin. How has Tomlin affected you? Seriously, how has Tomlin affected you, your play, your everything, Devin?
He affected me a lot. He's one of those guys. He's just one of those really, really, really good leaders. You know, you got a lot of confidence in him. And, he's not the guy to just walk around and talk all day and say, oh, I do this, I do that, do this, do this. Like, he kind of leads by example first, and then he follows up with a lot of words and actions. So, I mean, you all you have is the most respect for him, and, you know, you want to play for a guy like that.
Okay. And have you guys in the locker room discussed Breonna Taylor at all in the last 24 hours in the grand jury decision that came out of Kentucky? Has that conversation come up?
Yeah, it definitely come up. It hasn't been really like extensive, but you know, we all got different views on it, and of course, you know, it's unfortunate what happened, but you know, we still fighting, man, and we trying to just stay positive through all this, and you know, we still got a job to do. But at the same time, you know, it's outside of these locker rooms, outside of this building, you know, we are still, you know, like we're people. You know, we're people in this world. You know, we still got to live, and we still got to carry out our day just like any normal other person would. And you know, it's just like I said, it's just unfortunate. But we'll try to stay positive, and you know, we'll see where we end up.
Devin Bush here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple minutes left with the linebacker right in the middle of that defense, and then, my gosh, the assignment of Deshaun Watson coming up this week. What is the challenge for you, Devin?
He's a really, really, really good quarterback. You know, his play speaks for itself. You see the Texans believe in him. You know, they just, you know, upped him and gave him some more money. So he's there. He's going to be there for a while. So, I mean, everything goes through him. He's going to be a challenge for us. Just he makes really good throws. You know, he's really, of course, he's good with his feet. He's one of those playmakers. You know, you seen last year in the playoffs when he, you know, got out of that sack and made that throw and they aren't winning the game. So I mean, he's that type of player that's going to put the game on his back, you know, when it's time for it. And we got to shut him down.
All right, Devin, I appreciate the time. I know you got a lot going on. You got lots happening in this world. Good luck. I appreciate it. And
always
let's stay in touch. Let's connect. Now that Big Ten's actually going to start playing, it seems like December.
Yeah, you got to invite me over your house one day.
Okay.
You got to watch some football or something.
Okay, you got it, Devin.
All right.
Lock it in.
All right,
we'll do that soon. You keep crushing it. You keep doing your thing.
Sure.
You got it. That's Devin Bush, the quarterback of the defense, the Pittsburgh Steelers. right there.
Yeah, you weren't exactly subtle with where you were going with that Michigan, man.
Well, I mean, look.
I don't blame you.
It's year two, and they're putting the communication in his head.
Gets a baller.
Right? Minka and Hayden behind him.
I mean, a defense.
Dupree and TJ in front of him. By the way, all the Watt brothers are on the field. This is all three of them. It's time to play some tag.
Did I see first time?
Time to play some tag.
Three brothers since like 1930 playing in a game together.
Have there ever been three brothers of anybody in the league?
The Hansons.
I'm sure there have been, but it's time to play some tag this weekend in Pittsburgh.
Time to play some tag.
Time to play some tag.
Do we have an over-under the number of Subway commercials we're going to see during that game, by the way?
For all of those guys?
For all the Watts?
4.5.
Derek, TJ, JJ. They're all in that game. All of them.
Who has the every best day? Game?
Who's going to have the best game?
Yeah.
TJ.
You think so?
I do. Because, as you know, the play begins for Big Ben when he's hit.
But if JJ hits you, you're going down.
I imagine.
Let me see.
If I had a guess, and we'll have JJ on, and I should ask him the question that my son Cooper, who is the youngest in the household of the boys, he asked me, how come JJ never lets
his brothers talk
on Ultimate Tag? I mean, Derek and TJ never say it's time to play some tag. That's JJ's. My kids, honestly, it's Masked Singer and Ultimate Tag in the household. Boom, boom.
I mean, that's great.
With American Ninja Warrior maybe somewhere in between the two.
Yeah, I could see Coop on Ninja Warrior. Someday.
Oh, boy, he wants to.
I could see that.
He wants to.
Ultimate Tag was me as a kid in my house with my brother running around.
And then here I am. That's right. Yeah. And here I am, dad flexing with him, saying, hey, you want to see dad talking to Akbar Baja B.M. Miller with some weird mask device that he wants to sell to get fans back into stadiums? Okay. The phone lines are lit. We're going to take your calls. Stay on hold. We're going to take your calls.
We're going to take some calls.
It's time to take some calls. Maybe I should do that, right? Should I have JJ record a drop?
Yes.
It's time to take some calls. Nice. We're going to take the call of Colin Quinn's next, however. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the comedian and author, an auteur of Overstated, a coast-to-coast roast of the 50 states. Colin Quinn, when we come back. Hey, if you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time for you to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 21,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Again, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. That's netsuite.com/rich. We just talked in the break about the Norm Macdonald joke, which he said on the ESPYs, and I still can't even repeat like 23 years later.
No, you can't repeat it. Like I said, just YouTube it.
So that wasn't in Vegas. That was at Radio City Music Hall.
It was the 98 ESPYs.
Right, and I think Norm stepped out from a rehearsal or something. I'll just remember him asking me for gambling advice.
Well,
he really did that. Yeah. I know that's on brand, if you will.
It's on brand.
And that might have been the one where Will Ferrell made his jokes about Ken Griffey and and Elway. That might have been the one.
Yeah, very possible. Because they would have
won the Super Bowl.
They would have just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Denver. So
that's it.
Yeah. It's got to be it.
They were team of the year. Yep. And Junior was lost baseball player of the year to Larry Walker, and he was pissed off. I watched him run in leave. I think Stuart Scott had to talk him into going back to his seat. Oof. That's my memory from that night.
Larry Walker.
Oof. And then he won co-athlete of the year with his neighbor Tiger Woods by the end of the night. Isn't that interesting? We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We still have enough runway to take your phone calls here in the third hour of this program. That we just spoke to Devin Bush of the Steelers and Russell Wilson of the Seahawks and Ryan Tannehill of the Titans. And now the comedian who's been on this show before is coming back as an author. Overstated, a coast-to-coast roast of the 50 states. He's also got an HBO Max and HBO Max special to talk about. He is none other than Colin Quinn. How you been, sir?
Hey, what's going on?
How's it going? What's going on in the world?
Good.
Everything good? You're hanging in
there?
Tip-top shape?
Not good, but yeah.
I know. Well, we were talking earlier about MTV and just remembering you from that. How old were you when you popped on MTV on remote control?
28.
I was
a very old 28. Oh. I was a worn-down 28.
You're a worn-down 28. Did you know what you were involved with on that show, Remote Control, when you were doing it? Did you sense it? Did you know that you're a part of something huge, pop culture, Colin?
Well, at first we did it, and me and Ken was the other guy. We were like
Ken Ober.
Comedians, so we were like, oh, my God, this show, you know, what is this nonsense? And then we started doing it, and we're like, you know, it is fun. They let us do whatever we wanted. The guys, the producers, which was Mike Duke and Joe DeVoe, like, they were so fun. Like, we were part of, like, this whole crowd of people that hung out together. There was not a lot of, you know, we just all hung out, and they just let you do whatever you wanted because they didn't care. They're like, yeah, do whatever you want on the show. And then we didn't know how popular it was, so we went to spring break that year. So we shot it in December. It was on for January, February. We're in New York. It's cold, and we don't really know. And then we go down to spring break, and thousands of kids start chanting every little line from the show, and just even the commercials, they would imitate me doing the commercial, and we were like, wow, this is big, you know?
Yeah, and you kind of looked at each other and go, you had no idea.
Yeah, we had no idea it was that big.
Huh. And do you still stay in touch with Ken or no? You're long gone.
No, he passed away about 8 years ago.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Funny guy, but I kept in touch with him until then, yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Is that how you were discovered, Colin? Is that how you would say? That's how that happened on MTV?
Yeah, that was definitely the first thing, yeah.
Okay. And then eventually, as we all know, SNL knocked on your door. We're talking about how you got the gig the newsreader, if you will.
That was update.
So you got the gig when Norm got the gate, right?
Yeah. That was awkward.
But you went on and you did your job. You crushed it. Go for it. Sorry, you were about to say.
Oh, no, go ahead. So what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, what was your favorite, I guess, moment from when you were on the Weekend Update, Colin?
Bill Murray came on once, and he just did, you know, he did it like he just kind of free-formed his thing, you know? And I go, because I'm from that generation where I was like, I'm sitting next to Bill Murray, and he's being, like, you know, irreverent Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like a real moment for me where I was like, whew, you know.
And then, obviously Bill Murray being part of the history of Saturday Night Live had something to do with that, too. Tell me about this book, Overstated, A Coast-to-Coast Roast of the 50 States, available now where all books are sold. How did you concoct the idea, and what people should know about it, Colin?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm going over each state and kind of, attacking them, but in a loving way, I think. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the country's so, you know, there's so much, you know, disunity right now that I feel like this book is sort of like just trying to look at each state. And, you know, for your show, there's a lot of interesting things I'd like to talk to you about.
Go for it.
With my book, namely why do you think only certain states love college basketball more than college football? So I'm talking about North Carolina, Kentucky, Indiana. Those are the ones I can think of offhand that are college basketball, and there's no reason for it.
Do you ever
think about that?
Do you have a theory at all, Colin?
Well, I mean, for Kentucky and North Carolina, I feel like it's because they're those Appalachian kind of guys that are kind of tall and raw-boned. So I think early on they were just more into that. And Indiana, there's no way they should be into it, except it's the opposite of what they do all day. They work in farms, so they just all day is the opposite of like a hardwood court. Hmm. They're outdoors in nature, but I guess that wouldn't explain why. You know, most states are football.
I would agree.
Especially southern states. Indiana, it's just, yeah.
No, there's no doubt about that. That's an interesting, what other states could we even say that for?
And usually be like, oh, yeah.
Well, I guess the fact that North Carolina's also had Michael Jordan, basically one of the greatest athletes in the history of the world.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter.
But it was before that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, no, there's definitely before that. It's just like, obviously, now these days. We've got four states, if you don't mind, that are represented here in this studio. If you want to go and tell me a little something from the book or either off the top of your head about what you observed or whatever roast you want to put.
Sure.
Okay, Colin Quinn here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll start with my guy from Maine across the way. Chris Brockman represents the state of Maine. Do you have anything from the state of Maine?
Well, yeah. Maine is the New England of New England. You know what I mean? Like, the way New England looks at everybody else, like, shame on you. You know, just keep you in there. That's how Maine looks at the rest of New England. They're the ones, like, every section of the country has one state that is more them than they are. And that's what Maine is, you know.
That's more New England than New England.
That's very fair.
and they were very poor because only four people could afford lobster until, like, 1950. So even though they had lobster, nobody cared.
It's a problem for the economy. That's a local economy issue. All right. Next up, my buddy T.J. Jefferson is from the great state of Pennsylvania. What did you learn about the Keystone State, Colin?
Oh, well, Pennsylvania is like, that's where the entire country, that's like our whole country is Pennsylvania. It's based on, you know, this thing. And you're either a Philly personality, you're either like the east part of Pennsylvania or the cradle of quarterbacks, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, Philly is basketball and Pittsburgh is football.
Right.
And it sets up a whole dynamic where you see it really represents the entire country in a way, because that conflict could be embody our entire nation. Right.
So where do you put that? I mean, because I know you break the book into sections. Pennsylvania might fall through the cracks right here. New England, Mid-Atlantic, the South, the Midwest, Southwest, West, the Pacific Coast, and then the two states you call the country's foster children. Who is that?
Hawaii and Alaska, yeah. here's the other thing about Philly, Pennsylvania, by the way,
right,
is because, you know, Pittsburgh, like, the fans are obsessed with the Steelers. Like, you go, whenever I've been to Pittsburgh over the years, it's 1975. I would go on stage, little kids and old ladies reading Steelers Digest, by the way, when you're in town. They read Steelers. And you make a joke about, like, you know, I don't know, like Mel Blount or like John Dockery, and the whole crowd, even the little kids, are like, ha ha ha. They literally teach it like religion. They know the Steelers backwards and forwards. There's Mike Webster jokes. There's nowhere else you can do this kind of stuff.
That's right. You got to know your audience. All right, my buddy Mike Del Tufo's Jersey. I think the last two are going to be up your alley. New Jersey. What do you got for me on that, Colin?
Oh, well, New Jersey. I mean, just the fact that we dump our garbage, that they're basically, we dump our garbage there. That's set the relationship off. You know what I mean? That they have the low self-esteem when we go, hey, man, could you throw this out for me? And we're like, yeah. They go, yeah, okay, thanks. All right, thanks, New Jersey. That's how it says it all.
Okay, very good. And then the we is the last one. I'm from Staten Island, New York, Colin. So New York, what is your – that's the we in that equation when you say that, right?
Yeah, well, but except Staten Island is not the – Staten Island, as you know, is its own city-state.
Oh.
It always has been. I mean, Staten Island, they don't even have like a town hall. They have like a social club set up instead of a town hall. You know? The rule.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So the social club aspect of it, are you talking about the guy once got shot outside a Spark Steakhouse? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, if he was the only guy, that would be a different story.
That's like, right.
You know, but in the old days, the mob, what I say about New York is in the old days before, you know, if you wanted to invest, if you wanted to put up a high rise, you had to go to a luncheonette and talk to a guy from the Kennedy family in Lower Manhattan for the cement. And then, you know, if you wanted building permits, you had to go to a car service in Staten Island. Talk to a guy from the Gambinos. Plumbers, you had to go to a candy store in Brooklyn. You had to go to, like, five different stores to talk to somebody. You know, air rights, you had to go to a, quote, zoning board at a pizza parlor in Queens. And now it's just all, it's a whole different city.
Oh, my God. Colin Quinn here on the Rich Eisen Show. And interestingly enough, your HBO Max special, you just shot it at a repurposed drive-in in Brooklyn. Is that what you did?
Well, yeah, they opened a drive-in in Greenpoint because of Corona. I guess it was like a, you know, it was a warehouse and a bunch of places there. And it was just, we get there and they're like, well, we'll rent it to you to shoot a special. And I was like, oh, that's great. And we go there. It's got views of the city from like a $50 million movie. So it's this drive-in special with me and, you know, most of my dirtbag comedian friends. And it was nice of none of us to dress up for it, by the way. And the backdrop, it looks like, you know, you want to hear like George Gershwin playing in the background.
No kidding.
It's so beautiful. And we spend the whole time insulting each other and basically performing for cars. So there's, you don't even hear laughs because they're cars. They just flash their lights and honk their horns when they think something's funny.
No kidding.
There's no laughs in the whole special.
It's called Summer of 2020, a drive-in comedy special. Who are the dirtbag comedian friends of yours that you're referring to?
Well, you're talking about Bobby Kelly, Keith Robinson, Marina Franklin, Rachel Feinstein, Rich Voss, and Bonnie McFarlane, Sam Jay, Chris DiStefano, Dan Soder, and me.
Soder. I love Soder. By the way, Soder's probably out of his mind because his Denver Nuggets are actually performing so well in the playoffs right now. We should get Dan on the show on that front.
Oh, God, yeah. He's obsessed with his stupid Denver team. You're right.
That's right. He's probably going crazy. Hey, Colin, thanks for the call, man. Congrats on the book. Congrats on the special. And then you got Hubie Halloween coming up on Netflix in just a couple of weeks. So you got that going on.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
October 7th.
Thanks, Richard.
You take care, Colin. You got it. That's I am at I am Colin Quinn on both Twitter and Instagram right here on the show. Sounds like 15 million guys I grew up with.
Oh, yeah.
Did he say Staten Island? Was he going in the direction of Staten Island's not part of New York? He said it was its own city-state?
He danced around it without actually saying it.
That Staten Island is not a...
Staten Island is not part of New York.
Deezus and Mero, who are on tomorrow's show from the Bronx.
Uh-oh.
That's also an outer borough. But it's not the forgotten borough.
Right.
You know.
Because the Yankees are there.
Well, look. The Bronx is attached to Manhattan by a bridge. Okay? It's attached to Queens by a bridge. That's the old tri-borough bridge. The bridge attaches into three boroughs. Okay? Queens, as we all know, is literally on land attached to Brooklyn, which is attached both Queens and Brooklyn to Manhattan. The only way that Staten Island is attached to Manhattan is by boat.
Right, so why?
So that's why people start saying that it's not part of the city, but it is. There's five boroughs. I just mentioned them all. And Staten Island is one of them. And you say this all the time. I made you say it to Method Man when he was here.
That was a tough moment.
M-E-T-H-O-D.
And he just absolutely slapped you down.
Well, he has, you know, that power.
He does. Let's take some phone calls here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who's been waiting the longest? Robert in Alabama has been waiting the longest. What's up, What's up, Robert? What's on your mind?
Hey, well, let me just say, first of all, that you have been one of the, like, most notable people in my life. I grew up watching you and Mooch and Dion and Michael Irvin doing NFL highlight videos.
Okay, so now let me figure out. When you say you grew up, you didn't go Sports Center, which would put you in your mid to late 30s.
I got on my mom's computer. I went to NFL.com, and I watched the every weekly highlight video you did with those guys.
So are you in your 20s? Is that how old you are?
I just turned 18, actually.
Just turned 18. Oh, my God. Well, happy birthday, sir. Thanks for saying that. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm glad we're connecting. What's on your mind?
Very. I was thinking about the other day. I had a discussion with my friends.
Yes.
The for coaches coming from college to the NFL.
Yes.
It seems to be like innocent until proven guilty. You're a college coach until you prove yourself as an NFL coach.
Yes.
Cliff Kingsbury, despite how good the Cardinals have looked this year and at the end of last season with Kyler Murray, he is still only 7-10-1, I think, as an NFL coach.
Okay.
Do you think he's proven himself yet?
Gosh. When you say proven himself, I mean, what does that mean? Does he have to win a playoff game? Does he have to do that? I think you can see that he has a system that works in the NFL that suits his personnel. And so, you know, that's the way to go about it. It does help to have someone in Kyler Murray perform the way that he's performing. So, I mean, obviously it's still way early, but, you know, we've gotten the sense of people coming from college to the pros. One guy named Robert Petrino leaps to mind, you know, mm-hmm. even the old ball coach, you could see that Spurrier, when he was talking about how, again, I might be dating myself. You might have watched these highlights that I called for the team formerly, now currently known as the Washington Football Team.
Right.
You know, when he basically said he's not going to be grinding tape to the middle of the night, you know, mm-hmm. You could sense that. You could sense already that Kingsbury fits. How's that for an answer?
Right. I just wanted to tell because I've been on the Cliff Kingsbury train from the beginning. I really like Isaiah Thomas, that they drafted Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, Isaiah Simmons. Yeah.
No, oh my God.
It's all good, man. Look, dude, it's all good. You just when you mention names like that, we're going to stick me in a Dolan wormhole, and I can't go down that. Thanks for the call. You call back. Don't lose our number, okay? Don't lose our number.
Of course. Thank you so much, brother.
There you go. He just wants an invitation to the Kingsbury household. That's all he wants.
Well, I think we all do.
I just want to sit by the fire.
Did you see Matt Patricia saying that? Because again, there aren't many non-division coaches who can have a frame of reference about Kyler Murray as a professional quarterback from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Not many outside of the NFC West. Patricia faced him in week one of last year.
Right.
He said that it looks like Murray's faster this year. That's what he said. It looks like he's gained a step, is what Patricia told the media.
Which is bananas.
It is bananas. It's bananas.
Although Kenyon Drake did tell us the idea that Murray's faster than him is ludicrous.
But that's too much dip on your on that chip,
on
is
that
what he said?
Yeah.
Okay. So Kingsbury's got the system. That's why I told Steve Keim when he joined us on Monday. I'm glad that he came on. They're 2-0, and obviously there's a lot more to go. But, hey, one and done your coach who's never been there before, who came out and said when he was the coach at Texas Tech that if I had the number one overall pick, I'd choose Kyler Murray. And it sounded like, you know, hey, you host talking about Reich. You know, Reich, look out for that Reich team.
Holler at your boy.
That's right. He was method man.
But I think Robert was wondering if Kingsbury is the new Spurrier. I think that's basically what his question was.
I think you could sense that Kingsbury belongs.
I think so.
That he's not.
Helps when you have number one a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
you remember when everyone wondered if Pete Carroll could make it from USC after he crapped out with the Jets and the Patriots? Mm-hmm. By the way, Pete Carroll's successor in New England is still there.
And those two guys are the two oldest coaches in the league.
Speaking of the Patriots, let's go to Kevin in Boston here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, sir, how are you?
What's going on?
A couple of things. Keep an eye on your mailbox. Your CSI Miami episode aired the other day, so, you know.
Hey. Which one was it? Was it deep freeze or caged?
It was the cage. It was that unheralded, should have been Emmy nominated.
Thank you. Absolutely. I appreciate that. I think I played reporter in Caged.
You might want to check. I do believe I Was a Zygote is the name of Beck's upcoming album, so just be careful of that.
I Was a Zygote when Joe Namath first made his bones on Broadway, but what's on your mind, Kevin?
Well, when the schedules come out, everybody looks and they see, you know, win-loss.
Yes.
But for the Patriots, it didn't matter to me who the quarterback was. I had us at 1-1, beating the Dolphins, losing to Seattle.
Yes.
Now I just don't even know what's going to happen on Sunday.
Isn't that amazing? Because the Raiders are a team to be reckoned with. If Carr can make decisions pre-snap and they're right and he's accurate and doesn't make mistakes, obviously, as you know, Belichick is the guy, along now with his son Steven, who makes you make the mistakes. So if Carr can play a clean game, this could easily be a Vegas victory. There's no doubt about that. But Cam 2015 Camish.
The eraser's out. I'm like, I don't know.
2015 Cam has shown up. And so does...
He's huge. I saw him at a grocery store the other day. He is massive.
Who, Cam?
Cam is big.
You saw him at a grocery store?
I stood next to Tom before, and Tom's a tall kid. Cam is big.
Was it a Shawmuts? Is that where you were? Where were you? Where were you?
Stop. Come on.
Where were you? Stop and Shop? So where were you? Stop and Shop.
Yeah.
What was he buying?
He's big.
There you go.
The basket was too high for me to see. I'm only 5'6".
Kevin Boston, everybody. Thanks for calling, Kevin. Well done. Excellent appearance.
What was he wearing?
Did I name it Stop and Shop?
Yeah, Shop and Save, Shaw's.
Shawmuts?
Shaw's.
Am I just naming different?
Yeah.
What's Cam shopping?
Grocery
store. What kind of outfit is Cam shopping?
How about Cam doing his own shop?
I mean, that's amazing.
Who's like the strangest person you've run into in a grocery store?
Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay. I didn't even hesitate. That was like literally when I was a little kid.
Don't hurt yourself.
It's like you were waiting for this question to be asked.
Ernest Borgnine is sitting there looking through like the vegetables, and I'm like, oh my God.
Did you stop him?
No. I just, come on.
He was a kid, he said, right?
I was at a supermarket in Malibu, California.
Malibu.
Taking my cart.
Boo, baby.
I'll just say it. From frozen food to produce.
Okay.
And who's there? Two words. Dick Butkus.
Wow.
How are you, Dick? What's up, Rich?
Moving on. I remember when he came in the NFL Network. He was
still a big guy.
How about you, Brocklin?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it for a while.
You've never run into anybody at a supermarket?
Nothing that jumps out at me. I got to think. I don't know.
I'm a big Kiss fan.
Okay.
From back in the day when I was a kid. And
yeah.
With the face paint and everything. And I went into the, Mike, what's the Ralph's called on Ventura and Hazeltine?
Actually, I got a story about
that. Is
that
the porn star Ralph's or the rock? Whatever they call this Ralph's.
It's the rock and roll Ralph's. I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
The rock and roll Ralph's is in Hollywood.
A Kiss guy.
I walked in and Paul Stanley was there, and I turned into one of those 16-year-old girls that saw the Beatles.
Yes.
Because I saw Paul Stanley from Kiss. And I think he was a little taken back just because of this large African-American male with dreadlocks sitting there, like, pleading his love for Kiss. And he was just like, whoa, okay, nice to meet you. And I was like, oh, my God, Paul Stanley, I'm such a big fan. You wouldn't know to look at me, but blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he thought it was
funny. I
actually
saw him there once because I lived right around the corner. He goes there all the time.
I got to tell you, by the way, this is a great game of Mad Libs that we never thought. So you go to a supermarket. You got Paul Stanley, Dick Butkus, and Ernest Borgnine.
Walk into the supermarket.
That's who we've run in. Have you ever run into somebody in a supermarket?
I had to have.
Ever.
Nothing off the top of my head. I got to really think about it.
By the way, Cam.
All right, what about like a coffee shop or something?
I mean, I saw Tom Arnold at Yogurtland once.
There you go.
Megan Fox in a Starbucks is like, and Jessica Biel at a Wahoo fish taco.
Jeez. That's like a Mad Lib right there.
I mean, in Santa Monica,
Jessica Biel at a Wahoo fish taco place.
Megan Fox asking for a latte. I was like, this is like amazing.
And yet, when you just take that subset and you close it down to just a supermarket, it only reveals Ernest Borgnine.
Exactly. In the produce.
Let's take a break.
Wow.
More phone calls and we'll set up our Friday show. That's dynamite. Cam's doing his shopping.
Ernest Borgnine.
Everybody.
Mike, were you waiting for...
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Man, that's one of the many reasons why I love this show. I love the show because, again, it makes me feel like I'm back in my stand-up days by just not knowing what's coming and just ad-libbing and whatever.
Kind of reacting.
Like, I had no idea Kevin from Boston was going to call in. And, you know, and we'd talk about whatever he wanted to talk about. Oh, yeah, and I ran into Cam in a supermarket the other day. And then you're like, have you ever run into a celebrity in a supermarket? And Del Tufo literally, like, I'm glad you're hydrated because you really could have pulled something. You immediately go, Ernest Borgnine.
Like, you were waiting your whole life for that question.
You go, Paul Stanley. Okay.
Although I told a better one, apparently.
Yeah, you did tell a better one.
Is that the porn supermarket?
No.
This is the one. The Valley's. I had no idea there's such a thing. Yeah. You know, where there's a rock and roll.
There's a rock and roll Rouse.
Yeah, I saw Tracy Lord there.
I saw Dick Butkus. I mean, come on. All right, we're back on NBCSN. We are loving our world in Peacock. We love it. We love the support. We love the promos that we're seeing, certainly right before Sunday Night Football. We love being on after Dan Patrick, or we're used to that. It's for 5 years on audience right here, thanks to our buddy Chris Long birthing us almost 6 years ago next week.
Yeah.
We're coming up.
6 year anniversary.
October 6th is
that's it.
That's the day.
Yeah. Coming up. All right. Is that a weekend, or are we going to actually physically be here?
Yeah, great question.
Hey, I only like
the
to
second
ask
and third of Friday.
Tuesday.
Yeah,
great.
It's a Tuesday.
Hey, that'll be great.
I did think of one, but it was at a taco place.
This counts too.
I saw Miley Cyrus at a taco joint.
Okay, very good.
There you go.
Then again, that sounds like a Mad Lib. Proper name, restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay.
My.
Right.
And I did think I saw Kate Bosworth at an Air One. TJ was making fun of me about shopping at Air One.
What's wrong with shopping at Air One?
There's nothing. That's where wealthy people go. And
right,
just...
he thinks you have to be in a certain tax bracket to shop at Air One. Like, come on.
Wealthy folks go to Air One.
Oh, no. I mean, you just care about what you put in your body.
Thank you, Rich.
You're welcome.
You get it.
TJ and I are 99.
I'm shopping at Vons and Johns. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Rick in Coral Springs, Florida. Let's take his call. What's up, Rick?
Rich, really appreciate your show, my man.
Thanks, brother.
Love your show.
Right back. Thank you.
I got a couple of bones to pick with you, if that's okay.
All righty. Pick the bones, sir.
So, I didn't appreciate you trying to denigrate the Bronx in order to prop up Staten Island. In fact, when we went to play Tottenham High School in Staten Island, mm-hmm. we thought we were in Indiana.
Well, the South Shore, that's Tottenville, is in the South Shore of Staten Island, which is bucolic. I will give you that, but still, it's still part of New York City, Rick. You know?
Yeah.
It's still part.
And then the second thing, Rich.
Yes.
Being a lifelong Jet fan myself, just okay. as you, I feel that we have one of the attributes we've learned to accomplish is the ability to evaluate football players who suck.
Okay, Rick. I'll
given
buy
that,
keep
given
going.
That,
yes.
I'm so surprised that you picked the Minnesota Vikings to win the Central Division because Kirk Cousins sucks.
So, Rick, if I can bring this conversation full circle, if I may.
Certainly.
See, it starts with you accusing me of denigrating the Bronx to prop up Staten Island, and then you denigrate Kirk Cousins to prop up Sam Darnold. Is that what you just did?
No. In fact, I've already evaluated Sam Darnold, and he sucks too.
Rick, in Fort Lauderdale, don't lose this number. Please call back. I feel like I'm back home. I feel like I'm back home. Thank you for the call, sir.
My pleasure.
Right, bye. Please call back.
I got a couple new drops there.
Oh, I've evaluated him too.
By the way, we should have him on the combine. Rick in Fort Lauderdale. What do you think of this kid? I got to tell you, for my 50 years of being a Jet fan, 60 years of being a Jet fan, I know who sucks and who doesn't. That kid sucks.
It's a new segment.
All right. Fourth round selection. The Colts select so-and-so. Let's go to Rick in Fort Lauderdale. Well, you know what? Jets used to have a guy like that. He sucked. So I haven't seen the film on this guy, but that guy sucks.
I love it.
He's not wrong. We are, you know, in the same. Look, I'm really good at getting out from under a tree in golf.
Yep.
Because I'm used to being there.
Right.
Right?
Scrambling.
Like trying to tee it up, let it high, and let it fly and hit it straight down the fairway. Not good at that.
Not great. Not great.
Because I wind up under a tree. Mm-hmm. Getting out from under a tree and getting out to be in position in the fairway, I'm excellent at that.
A lot of practice.
He just gave that version of, as a Jet fan, we're really good
at identifying
who's not good.
Right.
In terms of identifying who's really good, we have issues with that because we're not in the middle of the fairway that often. We're usually underneath the tree. Am I not mistaken?
No, that's dead on. Okay. I would love to know Rick's take on Vernon Golston. Rick, if you want to call back tomorrow.
You know what? I feel confident in being able to speak on Rick's behalf.
Can we have Rick call every Thursday and just give him three players? For him to, you know, grade things.
It's called, it's called He Sucks Too. Oh, my God.
Like I said, Brockman.
Hold on a second. Mike in Arizona. Okay, this is going to be equal opportunity. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I got a question for you there, Rich.
What's up?
I know that Michael Irvin is always talking about those Cowboys.
Yep.
Michael Irvin was on one of the best Cowboy teams ever.
That's true.
Well, the Cowboys ain't the Cowboys anymore. I mean, they suck.
No, hold on a second.
I don't want to jinx my Packers, but I still think that they have a good team, but they're in the worst division. The whole team's noses bleed for a week to 10 days every time they play a game, and they're not in a good division. So how can they even think about even winning a
Well, look, they're probably going to be, and I appreciate the call, Mike, they're probably going to be in the Patriots position, which is you got six winnable games, and all you got to do is, you know, win five of them. You definitely should win four of them, and you should win five of them, if not all six of them. And then when you're outside of your division, go to work. You finish 500 there, you got 10 wins. And you do better than 500 there, you got a shot at, you know, the one seed, which you have to get the week off. You know, one seed this year is going to be significant.
I didn't appreciate that call.
But you got to win in Seattle, right? Right? There's no fans there. You go up there. Give them all you got like Cam did. If you're Dak, you got to give them all you did. Give them all you can like you gave it to Atlanta. And I'll tell you what. If you're in the same position like against Atlanta, That spinning football is going to get scooped up by the Seahawks before the 10-yard mark, I'll tell you that.
They ain't beating the
Seahawks.
Let's
not leave it to the spinning football's hands.
You don't think they're going to beat the Seahawks, huh?
0.0.
Wow. You're going Blutarski.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a win.
0.0.
Well, it was great to see Russell on the Zoom today. He looked really relaxed.
Looked good.
Didn't he?
Looked really relaxed.
He looks like the world is his oyster. Man.
He's a guy with weapons everywhere. Offense is really
at home
clicking.
Too.
Yeah. Offense is clicking, man.
I want to thank today's guests, Ryan Tannehill. We let Russ cook right in the middle of it. Colin Quinn and Devin Bush.
All right, who you got tonight? We got two big games.
Oh, I think I'm going to take the Nuggets just because it's fun.
Yeah.
And I'll take Gardner Minshew.
Let's go. Rock and roll.
And here we go, Tua. Let's see. Warm that thing up. Warm it up.
Tua.
Okay. Tua. Tomorrow's show. Aaron Rodgers. I've heard him.
Hey.
Jesus and Mero as well. See you then.
Peace.
Yeah!
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.